Hello. Well, welcome. Welcome back. That's geez. I think for the last couple of days, most of like what I've been doing was just nothing. In general, sounds just close to nothing. Just going to walks, coming back, fetching food. Not like a run after it like a dog, but I mean, you get the gist of like getting to the shop and just getting something. Occasionally have been going to the riverside, and it's kind of like the riverside next to the old broken down castle, whatever is left of castle, because we kind of have in this town, like, I'd say castle leftovers. Whoever nimbled on it was a great thing of a perspective of a thing, anyway. And so yesterday went to the riverside with my little sister, because she's standing like staying with me now for a weekend and a few days. And like she's on with her own stuff and I'm on with my own stuff, so it's kind of like together yet separate, because like we genuinely have own things to kind of like manage. And she goes out to walk around here way more than I do, because I'm an introvert that likes to sit at home. I like to go out when there's like at least some sort of plan, or like no plan at all, but there's a wish to go. And well, she's 14, she has excessive levels of energy, so she's just like endlessly like, I need to go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And in my case, I'm like, God, I'm barely moving. So it's been like back and forth with that. Also, the heat was there's no right words to describe the level of heat that was here up to like recently. And just today it started to get colder, and I'm like, fuck yes, like like it's finally better. Like, how long must I sweat my balls off? Like, just sweat whilst just sitting, standing, laying down, doesn't matter. Like, no matter what you do, you're gonna be passively sweating your bollocks off. Like, too much. And finally it's getting chilly, and I appreciate that. I truly appreciate that. Because now I can wear clothes without getting to change them, I mean, every half a day, because I genuinely cannot stand sitting in smelly, kind of like sweaty clothes. I'm like, not gonna do. Also, the amount of meds I'm eating because of this like heat, and then the decrease of heat, which is like, you know, changes of pressure within the air and shit, has been messing with me, bro. Like my head feels kind of like light and shit, and yet it feels like it's stuffed with cotton. And depending on slight changes, my either feel like it's like the dry cotton and it's just fuzzy, or it's the wet cotton when you're just like your head is kind of dragged down. So it's kind of like it goes back and forth between that. Excuse me, med pills. So yeah, because I went to the riverside and I was like, oh, I saw so many fishies, and I was like, oh, fishies. So like my 5-year-old came out and I was like, oh, I want to stand in the river and I want to watch fishies. And that's exactly what I did. And my younger sister watched me like, can you stop? Can we go, please? And I'm like, no, there's fishies. And she's like, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 3.5. Piss off, I've got fishies here. So she was not happy with that development, but I stood in the river and I literally had fishies kind of like trying to nimble on my feet, and I was like, oh my god, that's so cute. And like in the water there were like really small fishies and like a bit bigger and like quite, well, bigger than that. So I was like, oh, there's different fishies. And I was just genuinely enjoying seeing, like, you know, the cuteness of the fish, I guess. And because of excitement, I'm 3.5. I just took out my phone and I just half submerged it with the camera in the water to film the fishies, and I successfully did so. But the thing is that my phone is not waterproof. So today is the second day I'm drying my phone. And I'm like, yeah, it's gonna live, because I already dismantled it and I took the back cover off, because thank you, YouTube. And so it's drying, like air drying, like with the back off, so it actually has some airflow in there. And I already took out the part with the, where was the back cameras, and I cleaned it up from all the excessive water and stuff. So it's all nice and neat and pretty dry, actually. I was thinking it would be worse. But the phone is actually very bloody dry, and I'm happy about that. And, like, the only places where the water did get in was the camera. So, like, the front camera, which is, like, just the screen, and the back camera. Everything else is bloody dry. So that's pretty good, I'd say. And, yeah, that was funny. And then as I got out of the water, I was like, okay, let's go. Kind of like, after, like, ages of being nagged by my younger sister, we were like, are we going? So we started to walk off on the road, and I see the wings of dragonflies. And I'm like, fuck me, this is so fucking amazing. So I started to collect the wings of dragonflies, and now I have a bunch. Because, like, I was there and I see these, like, wings, and I'm like, they're so epic. And they're like the river type of, like, dragonflies, which is, like, blue, royal blue, dark blue kind of, like, ones. So the wings are also, like, dark blue, and I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing. So I spent a good half hour, maybe even more, collecting these wings by the riverside, because I was like, this is amazing. And my sister just, like, went ahead of me, because she's like, I'm not gonna walk next to you because you look like a crazy person. I'm like, doesn't matter, I have the wings. She still doesn't grasp the concept of not giving a shit about people's opinion. And she's like, others are looking at you like you're crazy. And I'm like, so what? It's not their fucking business what I'm doing. Like, I'm just collecting wings. Like, yeah, it sounds weird. It looks weird. I don't give a fuck. At some point, a car was passing by and they stopped. And the dude was like, what are you collecting, rocks? And I just looked at him like, no. And then he started to ask questions, and I'm like, I found a wing, and I showed him the wing, and I'm like, I'm collecting wings. And he's like, what for? I'm like, art project. Fucking Picasso, I like it. But he was like trying to insist to talk to me, and I was like, kind of like, as I was like crouching around, like just trying to fetch kind of like these, like catch the wings, because, like, you know, air. And they kind of fly off on, like, you know, with soft wind and shit. And this guy was trying to kind of, like, talk to me, and I didn't just, like, turn around and say, like, dude, I'm too busy for you. Fuck off. Apparently, the dude was offended, but I didn't give a fuck, because, like, dude, I'm trying to collect these wings. You're getting in my way, and I'm in no mood to actually talk to people. Fuck off. So, whatever. And then, like, yeah, I collected a bunch. I was happy about that. Also collected one sun-dried out dragonfly, because it's hot. And apparently, you know, birds, so why not? And I did get, like, an idea to get a, like, medium-sized canvas and use these wings as, like, you know, make some artistic shit out of it. Like, for real. But the thing is with that is that I wanted to have, like, an epoxy coat or something of that sort, like, like on top of it, for it to be, like, proper sealed. But the thing in this bloody the thing here is that in the construction shops and those kind of, like, you know, specialty shops, they don't have the right kind of epoxy, and I'm like, fuckers. So my crafty ideas don't really, like, work as well as I'd like to. So that's why I'm holding back on those. Kind of, like, still thinking what I can do with it. Like, witchy bottles, kind of like with wings. Anybody want to buy? Because I was like, I've got like a bunch, like it's more than 100 of those wings, like for real. Because I was like very preoccupied getting them. I was so happy to see them. And I was like, oh, get as many as you can. Yeah. And then like, yeah, just like spending time here. It's kind of like chill and it's like nice and fan is drying. So I had a bit of time with like not paying attention to my social media, sort of. And my little sister kind of went on a quest and decided to clean up the room on the first floor, because I'm on the second. And like the Egyptian pyramids of clothing and whatnot are just in the room beside me, so I don't see it genuinely. But there's other Egyptian pyramids of clothing that's on the first floor, and just, it's ridiculous. Like it's like freaking thousands of items of clothing, half of which is too small or too damaged or too big and they don't wear it, and the other half is like divided into like, maybe I'll wear it and yeah, let's keep it. Not like they actually wear all of it, so it's fucking frustrating. Yeah, the level one, I really want to like get the concept of like Kaizen to them, you know, and like that, like not really minimalistic living, but clean, declutter your shit, like Marie Kondo that, you know, the whole thing, you know, out of it, and just stop hoarding stuff. It's not like we cannot, like, you know, manage to get new clothes, like, but the clothes you have in here, they're fucking old and they look ridiculous. And the make, like, most of those clothes are just genuinely kind of like, you know, when you buy something from like really cool shop and it's like a new item, kind of like a new clothing, but the quality is so fucking shit, it's ridiculous. And most of these clothes are that kind of level of shit. And like both my mom and my sister were trying to get me to kind of like see some clothes, and I did get through like a large pile of that, and I managed to pick out two pieces of items which were miraculously found. First ones was the linen pants, like summer linen pants, and I was like, I'm taking it. And my sister was like, they look weird, and I'm like, that's my weird, that's they're monotone, they don't have anything, they're simple, like why would you like they just love their prints, like leopard prints, freaking crazy prints, like flower prints. They just like most of the clothes my mother and sister wear, it's like endless prints, either that or they're kind of like sports clothing. Bro, it's not 90s, we're not thugs. Like, you're wearing sports clothing, you're either, you gotta either do some sports or like be into that kind of style or have the body, you know, kind of like something to do with it. Not just, no. Yeah, it's my kind of like shitty opinion, but like, I've seen a lot of people wear kind of like sports clothes, and most of them, doesn't matter the shape or size, it fucking fits them. It just, they look fucking stunning. But when my relatives wear any sort of like sports clothes, they look ridiculous for the reason that they cannot pick out the right kind of like, you know, they cannot pick out the right items for their body type. And most of the clothes they get is basically like whatever grandma bought in the shop or whatever somebody else bought and decided that they could share it with them, you know. And so it's just, it's piling up and nobody freaking does shit with it. Ridiculous. So besides the pants that I found also Stradivarius jacket, kind of like, you know, office jacket, and I'm like, I'm digging that, thank you. And I was looked on quite crazily because like, who would wear a jacket like that? Like, okay, you kids are just too crazy or too silly, or like I'm too old for this shit, I don't know. So, yeah. And in general, like, my sis, she went through, like, a lot of clothing downstairs, and she cleaned up the room so you can actually walk into it without getting stopped by, like, boxes on and like, bags of clothing. And I'm like, wow. And while she was cleaning out the room today, she just like opened like a drawer of this table, old as fuck. The history of the table, my grandma bought this table for my mom when she was still studying in university, which is eons ago, by the way. And that table is falling apart, like, you know, the drawers are just like falling in and just like they're not fixing shit. So she pulls out the drawer and there's like a bunch of fucking old ass photos, and I'm like, oh my fucking god, like like the treasure trove of bad shitty memories, let's do this. And then I pull out, like, she pulled out all the photos because they were scattered, they were not in an album. And I'm like, give those to me, I have a spare album, and I have, like, you know, some other stuff I can put the photos into so they're not gonna get any more damaged. Thing is, why those photos are all kind of, like, some photos are ripped to shreds, kind of, like, you know, torn apart. And I'm like, why? And basically, the story to that is, my mom was too lazy to look after my sister when she was very young. Like, I mean, like, kid. So my mom would give photo albums to my sister to play with. So, of course, her being like, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, she just tore the shit out of them. She drew on some photos, she tore to shreds some photos. And yeah, so that's why, like, that happened. And I'm like, so basically me and my nan would share the sole idea of, like, who in their fucking right mind would just give a kind of like a book of memories to somebody else to just like put through shredder. Like, why would you do this? Like, you know, issues with parents that have a alcoholic background. Anywho, so I get these photos and I sort them out with like whatever's there. Some of those are like my mom's old stuff and like her in the university, and there's like pictures of like my mother, like her and my dad's like wedding photos, and I'm like, oh, that's so cute. And then I see, like, I look at my dad like in that photo and I'm like, fuck, now I realize why I was getting this comment from different relatives lately, is that they're all saying that I look like him when my dad was younger, that I just genuinely, like, freaking look like him. And I was like, nah, I know that I resemble my dad a ton, but not to that extent. Up until I saw the photos, and I'm like, I don't know what program was used, but like, this is genuinely copy-paste. Like, it's like, I'm looking at that, like, at the photos of my dad being 20, like 20, 21, 21. And I'm like, damn, we are relatives. Like, like, seriously, like, if I would be a dude, I would most likely look like that. Damn. Like he was handsome. He's still pretty gentlemanly handsome. And I'm not, you know, shitty looking myself. And I'm like, damn, that's some cool shit right there. And then I scavenged through other photos, and there's, like, you know, some old-ass shit photos of, like, you know, 90s, 2000s, early 2000s, with some photos taken by me and some photos taken by mom's friends or whoever, of, like, my mom's party drinking sessions with people and shit. And I was like, oh, right, that did happen. Like, so that's where all my PTSD stems from. Hi. And then I found, like, my old photos from, like, school, like my kindergarten photos, like my really, like, my nana told me, like, I was like 5 months, not 5 months, like a year old or something. I was a kid on one of the photos, like just freaking baby with large eyes going like, what the hell is going on? And I was like, that's cute. And then just like a year or like a year and a half down the line, photo, like another photo of me, and like, damn, I looked like a kid who was like, I'm not happy with your shit, I'm quite upset, but genuinely, like, I'm not gonna take your shit. That's what, like, that kid looks like. And I'm like, that's cute. That's just fucking cute. And then I looked through like my school photos, like year 2, year 4, year 7, 9, and 10. Where the fuck are the rest? Most likely torn apart. So I looked at that and I was like, geez, I was such a cute kid at like, even at year 7. Such a cute, like, chubby cheeks and stuff. And then just like, shit changed. And even if I retained the chubbiness of my cheeks at some point, like, it was not kind of, it was a cutesy kind of like nice type of face of like a nice person. But simultaneously, there was like the emo gothic period there. So, so like, some of the clothes resembled that, and like we had to make do with whatever we had. So it was a random thing, and like my like ex-classmates and like best friends there, I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, we're old now. Fuck. Like, I don't want to expose anyone, but damn, guys, we were such a bunch of pricks. Like, God, we all looked like so young, so, I want to say stupid. We were kind of like, we were filled with naivety. We were naive, okay. And, well, we had this kind of like the light in the eyes somewhere, and then like at some point this kind of light started to dim in the eyes. You could just see it in the photos, you know, somewhere just like, you know, fish dead. If you look them in the eyes, it's kind of like they're kind of like fucking tired with life already by the age of like 15. And I'm like, yeah, makes sense. So I was like, wow, I was quite a pass there. But simultaneously, I kind of decided that, yeah, there was a past. Sure, there is a past. And, like, if I'd ever have the chance to see myself at that age when I was, like, this small, chubby-faced, kind of, like, black-haired kid, like, I would do it. I would just go back in time to be like, okay, motherfucker, let's see. Especially because of one damn reason. My godmother have told me this one cool thing about me, which my parents failed to fucking tell me, like ages gone, and she basically, my godmother, she told me that when I was a baby, it's kind of known that babies have, like, you know, they're born with one kind of like eye color, and then when they kind of like age, the eye color changes. And I remember how at like age 10 or 11, my godmother gave me this like teacup with like really, like, kind of like really blue like flower on it. And I was like, why this? And she's like, thing is, darling, when you were born, your eyes were royal blue color. Like, no kidding. It was like that kind of, it was not light blue. It was like dark blue, kind of like, you know, vivid blue. And I was like, wait, what? And she was like, yeah, that. And I'm like, holy shit. So in one of the kids' photos, I could still see kind of like how it just kind of like grayish kind of looking like eyes. They were not, they were not like blue, but there's like grayish with blue kind of like mixed together. And I questioned at some point, I think, my grandma or my mom about that, and they did tell me that my eyes were first like really vividly kind of like blue, royal blue color, and then they kind of changed to kind of like bluish gray, and after gray they changed to my now eye color, which is a mix between the green and the kind of like brown yellow. It's kind of like, you know, a heterochromia, but just like a, when it's like a not outer side of the eye color, but like closer to the pupil. So it's like around my pupil, my eye color is different to the outside of my eye. So it looks a bit different. But genuinely, people kind of like have dissed my eye color a lot. From calling it swamp green to pretty much anything else. And like only a few people kind of like realize that they just kind of glow, kind of like become more golden in the light, in the sun. And since then, some people have been like pestering me. It's like, look, look at the lights, look at the lights. Why? It burns my eyes, bitch. Look at the eyes. Yeah. Lights, the lights. But yeah, like, some kind of like things down the memory lane, some kind of like laziness in there. And, well, because I sit quite a lot on Witch Talk, not. And it doesn't matter if I have my phone working or not, like there's a computer in front of me. So I've seen a lot of like witch talk going about CERN, like, you know, working again and starting trials with particles from the 4th of June, which is basically ish today ish. Yeah, tomorrow ish, yesterday ish. 1 minute past. So since the 4th of July, they started to do like the preparation works with the particle acceleration. And on the July 5th, which is officially now today, they want to run it at the faster speed to see if it will actually reproduce the same effect as like the Big Bang. So the witch community is like, okay, shifting timelines, babies, let's manifest the best of us. Let's see what exactly is happening in there and what's going on. My spiritual ass, I'm excited. I want to see what's gonna happen, because like there's like things happening since like CERN launched their particle accelerator in 2012, and how since then there was like a Mandela effect on different things, and there's kind of like, you know, the names of stuff, like with the letters, without the letters, with the monocle, without the monocle, you know, there's a lot. And it has been quite crazy in general. Like, some people remember this part and some people remember it like altogether differently. So yeah, I'm like, I'm quite interested in how like it's gonna turn out this time. And for some reason, like, I think it's gonna get maybe better, because now there's quite a big spiritual community with witches and light workers and a lot of great other like pagans and whatnot. We're colorful, and I'm genuinely excited about that. There we go. I'm showing my colors. I'm quite spiritual, but not in the means of like believing in a certain religion. I believe like in a universe and the energies. And when people are like, yeah, but do you believe in God? I'm there going like, I believe in quantum physics. How am I gonna explain that one? Because in general, kind of like, I was curious about spirituality for a long while. And the closest one to those was basically when I started to get interested in Buddhism at some point. And I was like, that seems more plausible. But then I got quite fascinated with the Shinto religion. And I was like, everything has a soul and this and that. And I was like, that's quite, yeah, I'm... And then when I came across like quantum physics at some point, I was like, wait a damn minute. So every object is actually like resonating at different frequencies. And like they, in a way, do kind of like, you can make it as a soul, sure. And I was like, fuck, that's actually cool. And then how like most of objects are made mostly out of space. It's just like the perception of the, you know, other things that we see, stuff that we feel, stuff that we touch, stuff. But genuinely, most of the mass stuff and the light stuff, and just, yeah, quantum physics is exciting. But yeah, when I start to talk my batshit science and spirituality to my little sister, she looks at me like, can you not? She's too young for it still. Too young for it. And with her just like listening to me here and there, like, she was like, yeah, I get it, you're smart like enough. And I'm like, dude, it's like cool shit, like for real, it's cool shit, you'll need it. Especially when I go into frenzy of like explaining to her like the means of like extroverted versus introverted, the ambiverts, the introverted extroverts, extroverted introverts, and how it fucking relates to everything. Or like the Mandela effect, when I started to talk about CERN with her, and she's looking at me like, yeah, basically you can see it in her eyes that she doesn't give a fuck. Like, it doesn't concern her. She's more into like the dances on the TikTok and like the whatever Russian movies or like TV series, and you know, she's kind of like she's a lot into that kind of like Russian media culture. And she likes those kind of like, you know, YouTubers that speak Russian and stuff. And she gets weirded out. Like, she tries to learn English. But her English school is shite, to say the least. And the moment my mother was trying to get me to teach my little sister English, it was a fail, okay? Because I was kind of like, the way I taught English some time back, prior to COVID, was that, like, my whole thing being English teacher ages ago was that I would speak English, like, without, like, you know, I would still persistently speak English even if I know the language you're speaking. So even though I do speak Russian and Latvian, I would genuinely not speak any language besides English during the class. So I would encourage a student to listen to me like 24/7 yapping in English, so they would actually have, like, you know, some stuff left in their heads. And with my little sister, she's like, no, you have to translate all the words for me, like, otherwise I will not gonna understand it. And I was like, that's the point. You don't understand it, you ask a question of what it is, and I explain to you the meaning in English. So you can kind of like, there's something in your head that kind of keeps the information there. But she's not really happy about that. She's like, no. So that failed. And I told her, like, why don't you watch some, for example, movies in English, but like with Russian subtitles or something. Like, you know, that means like you'll be able to hear English speech. And if you don't understand it, you can still like read the subtitles, which is kind of fucking cool, eh? Kind of, you can learn stuff like that. Yeah, I was basically sent to fuck myself up there. She's quite a no-no with that, so. I wouldn't say it's impossible, but that's painful. And since then, like, whatever we're trying to talk about, it's kind of like, I can see she's trying to understand me, and I'm trying to understand her, and, yeah, she's bubbly and talks too much, and she's, like, forever on her phone, and, like, we're always, like, with how the life works right now, we're all, like, on a phone and a computer and something, and, like, the difference between us, though, I mainly sit, like, in the, like, websites where I can, like, watch some series, movies, like, anime, read something, like, see some podcasts, kind of, like, you know, cool stuff. And then when my brain gets enough of, like, information, I go and just, like, endlessly scroll on TikTok. Like, check other social media, sure. Like Telegram and Instagram and WhatsApp and whatnot. And then just chill in TikTok. And I don't, like, because I don't really have that many people to speak with. And I don't actively seek talking to people because I genuinely like my silence. My little sister, because of, like, you know, excessive level of energy, she always seeks chat, and I'm like, then tell me something. And she's like, I'm not really good at telling, I'm good at listening. And I'm like, I'm not a radio, darling. if you want to chat something, like, you know, say something, do it, be the one to kind of like start conversation. Don't, because she'd come up to me like throughout the day, maybe like fucking 20 30 50 times a day, asking like, what's new? Honey, I'm not even getting out of my room. Like, I'm just, like, not doing much. Like, I don't know what you want to hear. Kind of like, if I go into details of what I've been watching, you'll genuinely look at me as you always do and just, like, go, and just walk out. Like, what's the point in that? Like, it's like, what's the point of asking a question like what's new or what's up if you just don't want to hear the answer, or like you don't want to engage with the answer? Kind of like, And when I genuinely ask her the same thing back, she's like, oh yeah, like, and she starts talking about other people and what they do, and I'm like, right. So, you know, kind of like the local thing with like people liking their gossip and trying to track what everybody's up to. Like, how about you try to do something yourself? So that's kind of like the thing she doesn't kind of like do much. She'll, because she's bored, that's why she's cleaning up. And I'm not really there to kind of like help, because I'm like, no, because then you'll have nothing to do. And I'm quite chill with doing jack shit, because like I stopped running by kind of like, there was this like misconception in my head that if I don't do something all the time, it means that I'm lazy and I'm unproductive and I'm not doing shit and it's bad and it should be shamed and frowned upon. And over these months, I realized that actually having time with yourself and doing nothing is so fucking cool, because you get to sit with your own thoughts, or like with no thoughts at all, and like space out, like watch a movie and be like, cool movie, like, you know, or like there's a movie playing but your mind is like out there in space, you know, and you're not rushing yourself to do something, you're not nagging yourself for not doing something, you're just enjoying being alive, kind of like chilling. And I have not been chilling for the life of me. Like, and I started to learn this kind of like relaxing the fuck down only like in the past couple of years, because like prior to that I would like nag myself for not doing stuff. I would be there going like, but I'm lazy, it's bad, like people, you know, it's and I'm like, nah, it's pretty like badass to just not do shit, because it relaxes the fuck out of you, and then you can just like reload your brains eventually and get back on track with like doing things, because like there's like chill, procrastination, and then guys, like the moment when you plan out what exactly you need to do and you're like, oh actually, and then you start doing stuff. And there's also the inspiration, and like the brain works better when it's rested, not when it's like overfilled with shenanigans. And I'm like, oh, that actually feels better. So I'm appreciating that. But in her case, she still is in this buzz of like, I gotta do stuff, I gotta go somewhere, I gotta do something, and just, you know, be in constant motion. And she's slowly easing into kind of relaxing her ass down as she sees that I'm not doing stuff and I'm chill. Like I'll slowly go and do things, I will not gonna rush, I'll just, you know, take my dear good time, because like where the fuck should I rush? Like I've got nowhere to rush, basically. I'm here, like what's gonna happen? Like there's no people arriving, there's like I don't know, no crazy people getting on my case, like I'm like, why would I worry? So yeah, it's kind of weird. To her it's kind of weird, to me it's kind of meh. And she's also kind of like concerned that we have like some cats coming over to kind of like meow for the food. As we put out some food for the cats, stray cats we've got here. And one of the cats, I call him Tom, Thomas. Thomas is a beat down kind of young cat with like one eye clouded. Most likely it's kind of like a failing eye. He's kind of like half blind in there. And most of the times this cat would run away from them whenever they'd be there. And he still kind of like jolts and just tries to dart the fuck away every time my sister is coming out like there, if he's like nearby the house entrance. But whenever I come out, this cat just sits in that place. He doesn't give a fuck. He's there going like meow. And I'm like, oh, my sweet baby came back here. Oh, do you want some food? Yes. And he's just there, and he knows that I don't kind of. Cats genuinely don't like you moving fast. They don't like loud noises. They don't like kind of like you speaking loudly. And they're genuinely like chill. They like chill stuff. They don't like to hype things. And because my sis has too much energy, it's like really hard for her to chill the fuck down. And in my case, I'm so chill, like the cat, this cat is like, he fears them and he does not allow them to get close to him. And apparently I'm the sole person that even touched the cat, even pet the cat. And the cat is just kind of like more okay with me near him. And I'm like, yeah, because I don't try to run after him. Or like, I don't throw food at him. I genuinely respect the fucking cat and his privacy and the way he just like, you know, does stuff, and it's cool. And like, just like, he's okay with my energy next to him and me sitting like nearby him, so he doesn't panic because I don't do anything rash and I'm just chilling next to him. So he's okay with my company, so I don't chase him, I don't tell shit, and I'm trying to talk to him, and he's being nice, and he replies even, so we're having full-blown conversation. To the level of perception of my little sister, I'm a crazy cat lady. I'm not gonna deny that, I always had cats that I loved. And with that, it's kind of like, I even, like, in the photos that we pulled out, I even found a photo of my late cat, Kusa. She was a black and white cat. And she was like an epic cat, really. She was really smart. She was so smart, in fact, that she knew basic, like, commands of, like, stop, don't, kind of like, and she would come by me and, like, she was my kind of therapy cats, because when I was a kid, there would be a lot of drama in the house to the like point of like physical abuse and stuff. And it was not just like physical abuse towards me, it was like within the family. And so when I would have the episodes of crying and trembling and shaking and like literally being a nerve wrack, the cat would always come to me to chill me. So since I was a kid, we always had like different cats, and like there was a bunch of cats since I was a kid, like, we changed a bunch. But there was also, like, always a cat with me that would chill my nerves down, so I could, like, you know, I'd grab it, I'd pick up a cat to kind of, like, try and calm down, and the cats would always, like, purr and calm me down, like, try their best to chill me. And this cat was, like, very profoundly freaking smart. So much so that when my little sister was born, and she was still in the crib, but then she got a temperature. And everybody was asleep because it was the middle of the night. And my cat, she was meowing next to the crib, waking up my mother. And kind of like pointing to my sister that there's something wrong. And my mom took notice and she checked the kid. And we had to call the ambulance to get my little sister sorted because like really high fever. So my cat kind of saved my sister's life. And the sad story with this cat is that after a while I had to go and leave to London. And my cat was here still for the full year, and she was staying in the countryside because the last place where my cat saw me was the countryside. And and basically because my mom left from this house and it was empty, my cat would still come back here every day waiting for me. And basically after a while there was some old lady up the road with a countryside house where my nan took my cat to kind of like look after my cat. But my cat would all the time just like sneak away to go back to this countryside house, and she would just wait on the porch. And so eventually my nan had fed up with like, you know, complaints from this old lady and my cat forever sticking here to wait for me. And she couldn't get the cat like to live with her in a flat because my Auntie had a policy against cats at the time, still does. And because of that, she couldn't take the cat in. And at the time, this cat was like, I think, like 4 or 5 years old, maybe. And the sad part about it is that she had to put her down, like, you know, forever sleep at the vet. And I was really pissed off for that. I was like, why would you, like, it was a perfect cat. Like, she was smart as fuck. And she was, like, dedicated as fuck. Like, why would you do this? And I was really upset about it. And when I came back years later, my nan said that she took the cat to the countryside, somewhere else, to some other lady. And then at some point, she just, like, when she spoke with the neighbor, she told, like, oh, yeah, I just, like, you know, took the cat to the vet. And, like, it was, like, what, 20 freaking euros to put the cat down, da da da. It was not as bad. And I was like, you did what? And she was like, oh, shit. And I was like, yeah, exactly. Now explain to me, please, what exactly happened to my dear cat. That was a tragedy. And since then, like, me taking cats was like a thing. Like, I always want a cat. Like, I'm forever, like, with the cats. And, like, when I was with my ex, there was a cat by the name Prince. Prince was a black, old dude. He was fed up with people. He was not happy with people. And I was the sole person who came around. And I was like, oh, kitty, I'm going to wash you in the bath. And they basically told me, like, they never wash the cat in the bath because the cat is scratching a lot and he's yelling a lot and he's not happy with that. Little did they know that the scratching and yelling ain't helping in my case, because I grew up with cats. I just don't give a fuck even if you scratch half my face off, because, like, I'm still gonna wash you. And after the second bath I gave the cat, he just, like, stopped even trying to get out of the bath. He just sat from then on and just meowed the fuck out of himself. He just accepted his fate, but he just had to pretend that he was not happy with it. And then I'd, like, wash him up and just, like, do all the aftercare with, like, the nice warm food and stuff, so he was okay with it. And then at some point I just, like, hugged him a lot. And, like, yeah, I'm a lot of a cat person, so that cat had too much of me in his life. Like, I even slept next to him on the balcony on a sunny day, and I was like, yeah, cool cat. And eventually I was the one to take this cat, because he turned, like, 19, 20 years old, to take this cat to vet to put him down, because, like, he stopped eating for, like, a week, and then he stopped drinking for 2 days, and my concern was just too much. And I was panicking, like, genuinely. And when I had to give him in the vet to put him down, I wanted to crying frenzy and held the cat. And yeah, basically it took me, like, good 10, 15 minutes, maybe half hour, to let go of the cat. And I was like, no, stop at me, no. Yeah, but eventually the cat had to go because he was old and he was dying, basically. Because when the cat stopped eating and stopped drinking, that's like a, you know. And we have this kind of like a belief, kind of like a superstition, that a dead person, within the 40 days after death, he just wanders the land and he'll come show up in dreams of people who he cared about the most, and he worried about the most. So, well, cared about the most would be more suitable. So when I had to go and put down the cat, like, the few days later, or like a day later, I dreamt about me waking up next to this cat, like, on the bed where I was staying, next to my cat, like, no husband, just cat. And I basically grabbed the cat, I hugged him, and I was like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I had to do this. And the cat was, like, chill with it. He was like, yeah, I get it, I get it. Kind of like, woman, stop. Like, with his paw to my face, like, nyeh. And And that was like that dream where like he showed up to kind of like say his goodbyes. And apparently, out of the full family, I was the sole person who saw the cat. Nobody else did. And I was like, oh, look at that. So I was the favorite. Yeah. So. Ugh. And then, like, I had a heartbreaking moment of taking my trio of cats, which I took home at some point, like in Lithuania, when I was already, like, you know, alone and just cats. So when I had like Ullr, Fafnir, and Freya, I was really happy. Like for that year and something, I was just like so good with the cats. Like I had the cows. Yeah, they were rascals. Like sure as fuck, they were rascals. But they were quite more of a rascals the moment one more cat was given to me to look after. So basically, at some point, I had four cats in my house. And his adoptive son was by the name of Knight. So my cats had to teach him the ropes of where to shit, where to eat, and where to not do stuff. So that was quite cute, I'd say. Yeah, I had to, like, eventually the owner of Knight picked him up again. Poor cat was traumatized by that family because I don't know what exactly that man there did, but he was just like feral once again and just like I was with that cat for like I think 4 or 5 months. Then I had to give him back to that family. Or like 3 months or something, then give him back to that family and for like 2, 3 months. And after 3 months, he was like returned back for me to look after him for a bit again. The cat was absolutely like, he looked at me with the eyes left, like, Mother, what have you done to me? What is this bullshit? And my cats had to like wash the fuck out, like, of this feral twat. And like the feral twat once again became like it took him a while to get used to chill in a house that nobody's chasing him, nobody's like, you know, doing stuff to him. And he became like very loving and affectionate and very cute. And so he was like, you know, cute child, basically. And once again, when I had to return him, this time like for good, he was not happy with it. He was just genuinely pissed off. And I knew it and I was like, but honey, there's nothing I could do. And then when I had to give away my trio of my cats because I was moving, I was very sad to give them away, but simultaneously I knew that there's like good people that will take care of my cats. So two of my friends got my like the two of my kind of like close friends, like one of them, she took both cats and she eventually gave away one of the cats to these kind of like neighbors, friends, something. And they had a small kid in a family. And that cat, Ullr, he's like half a dog because he knew fetch. Like he would fetch stuff. He would just freaking bring it over. And like that cat became the favorite of the family, straight up. With Freya, was staying with this friend of mine, this fantastic lady. And she's still staying with her. And Freya's chill. Like, she's like cute and like over the top, fluffy and chill. Like, she doesn't give a fuck. She's like, as Freya is, I think. Like, you know, she will gonna crush you and burn you alive if necessary, but she'll be chill. And then there was like Fafnir. And Fafnir is the. Yeah, he's just purely amazing. He looks freaking. His gray fur was like top notch, like not kidding. The gray eyes, the gray fur, like pretty. So he was taken in by my ex-boyfriend, and he's a really nice cat. So he got the gemstone of the collection, I think. But all of the trio is basically the gemstone for the reason that Ullr is the the older brother type. He will just like take care of all the rest of the animals around him, you know, whoever it may be. He's just like the one to take care of you, you know, just like he'll be there in the morning waking you up by literally like cleaning your face also, like licking the hell out of you. Frey is the one that will gonna just chill next to you. She's like that kind of vibe of a cat. She'll just, you know, relax. She's the relaxing vibe around the house. And Fafnir is the dragon child. He'll be hiding in all the possible hiding spots. He'll just be there, like kind of like fetching things, trying to catch things, and be like, you know, the crazy obsessed person out of the trio to like basically catch anything flying. He'll be the hunter. Like, it doesn't matter what, hunter. Including house plants. That's gonna be hunter too. They're gonna fucking eat it. Don't worry. So, funsies. Yeah, cats. No shit, I'm a crazy cat lady. So, a bit of reminiscence there. But I know that my cats now, they're doing well. They're chill. They're having time of their lives. And I'm really happy with the families that took them and that they're being looked after really well and loved and cared for. So I'm like, I'm good. And when recently my mom was like, we should get you a cat. I'm like, hell no. Hell no. I cannot go through this heartbreak again. Like, in case if I am getting my cat, it's going to be when I move to my own place, when I have my own house, and when I can afford a cat. And then I'm not going to take just any cat. I'm going to go for a Maine Coon, because then I want, like, you know, like a big-sized kitty to go with zoomies around the house at 3 in the morning. Like, I want that kind of level of cat. You know, the one that will sit on top of you and make you suffocate. Like, that's my kind of cat. So, yeah. Until then, we'll just keep on creating, keep on, like, chilling and taking life one step at a time without rush. Because, like, what the fuck would we rush? Like, it's bad for your mental health. Who would do that? I mean, we're socially, like, pressed to do it, but that's just, it's not good for us. Even with statistics showing that people have not had actual happiness in years, it's just saddening. Weird fucking statistics, eh? Anyway, all this yapping later. Stay safe, stay hydrated, take your meds. I'm sure you all do, but just in case. Make sure not to allow toxic people in your life. Dump his ass. In case he's doing shit, dump his ass. You know. And do take care of yourself. And I see you when I see you.